The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Good morning, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need, and today I have the pleasure of introducing a very well-known TEDx speaker to the show. Jennifer Ruiz is a lawyer turned travel blogger who took 20 trips in 12 months while working full time. Quite impressive. We will hear all about that today. She has been featured by the Washington Post, ABC News, and Huffington Post as a budget and solo travel expert. She is a number one Amazon best-selling author of the book, The Affordable Flight Guide, How to Find Cheap Flights and See the World on a Budget. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Lou Need.
It's my pleasure. I'm so happy that you're here and you're going to share a lot of nuggets on the benefits of traveling solo. We're going to talk about your book and what it's like being self-publishing and monetizing your brand. We will talk about traveling while fully employed, full-time employment, and still get to travel the world. And also we'll discuss how you were able to make the career transition and how you can kind of give us some tips to do the same.
I'm excited.
Okay. So tell us about the great year that you set out to take 20 trips in 12 months. While you were still an attorney, that got to be hard. You got to be in court. You got to show up. How did you do it?
It wasn't easy. I was actually very lucky to have coworkers that if I did have something that conflicted, were able to cover for me. I tried my best whenever I wasn't there to try to make sure I rescheduled things around my time off or had taken care of all my work before I left, you know, had my work emails, kind of making sure that everything was monitored. So that in and of itself was a lot of responsibility. But I didn't originally set out to take 20 trips. I actually only set out to take one trip every month before my 30th birthday. But I found so many good deals that, and I was on such a kind of the adrenaline rush of my last year of my 20s and kind of the mission of sending the year out with a big bang and saying a good farewell to the decade when I had worked so much and studied so much and been in school, you know, for 7 years. I really wanted to do something fun. So I may have gone a little overboard, but I took 20 trips. And it was amazing. It's a year I'll never regret. And it completely changed my life because it led to me writing my first book about finding cheap flights, which a lot of people wanted to hear more about because everybody wants to fly for cheap. And then from there, I decided to transition to travel blogging and writing full time.
Amazing. Please, I love traveling. I love traveling solo. And tell us, what were some of your favorite places that you've gone? And what are some of the places you've gone? Give us at least five.
Well, I've gone to Greece twice. I went once in the winter. That was my very first trip. I started off my 29th year at the Parthenon in Athens. And I went back in the summer to see the islands because it's just not the same in the winter. And I wanted to have that feel and see Santorini and some of those beautiful bucket list places. Speaking of which, I also wanted to make sure I was in France in the middle of the summer for the south of France to see the lavender fields in full bloom, the sunflowers in full bloom.
Wow.
To, you know, just have that moment of just pure bliss in Provence, which I had that in July. I went in the beginning of July over 4th of July weekend there and managed to squeeze out 6 days, using only like 2 days of leave time. And I went to Cambodia. I saw Angkor Wat and the sunrise over Angkor Wat, which was incredible. very packed, but so worthwhile. I mean, there's a reason people make that pilgrimage to go there and see that. And there's a reason that the monument has been, it's the largest religious site in the world. And it's just been repurposed through so many different religions over the years because it's so important. It's a place of magnitude that you can feel when you go there. Other places during that year, specifically Cuba, I was very nervous about going to Cuba, but I ended up having a great time. And I'm glad that I went because I think that going helps understand a situation more in Cuba and helps you kind of relate better and know what the people there are going through and also talk to them about what life is like in the U.S. And really, I made some great friends there in Cuba and had a wonderful time. Yeah, Buenos Aires, Argentina, I went to Ecuador. I went and swung off the swing on the edge of the world that goes over, a volcano and has like kind of a steep drop, and you can take a treehouse swing and get this magnificent shot. And so after I traveled all the way to Ecuador, I actually had a very foggy day that day and got very nauseous on the swing, but I still have the picture. So it was a very wild year with a lot of different experiences that I would have never had otherwise. And I'm so glad that I went and actually took that challenge on and surpassed my goals.
Wow. It's like you're pushing yourself with every trip. You do something different. You see something different and you grow in return, it sounds.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's been, my mother's a teacher, so I've always had a passion for learning. And obviously, I mean, I've gone through extensive schooling myself. I like school. It's comfortable. So I know you probably feel the same way. And so there's something really nice about feeling like you're a lifelong learner. And when I go to these places, it's so wonderful to get introduced to these in-depth tours. You know, I just came back from Portugal recently and I took a wonderful tour of a local neighborhood where it was like 4 hours of just deep context where we learned a lot about the people that live there and, you know, what the history has been like. And it's just so interesting to me to learn about all these different cultures whenever I travel. I think that's part of the allure.
Yeah. Was it Alfama? I was in Portugal in May with my fiance.
Yes, it absolutely was.
It was Alfama. Yeah, I took the same tour. It was fantastic. And they don't leave their town, right? They only leave if they need medical assistance. They're are secluded.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've been actually it was a little bit sad to hear that there's been a little bit of a push of the local people or a hope that the population will eventually age out so that they can replace this wonderful, authentic neighborhood with condos and short-term housing. And that's been something that has been very prevalent in the travel space that we've been discussing a lot at conferences and things like that, the problems that are caused by those kind of things. Because I'd hate to see Alfama lose its soul and really the essence of what it is and why people go there in the first place.
Right. And that's just to tailor to tourism, to bring money into the country. And at the same time, I understand the need of tourism, but losing the aspect that makes the place so great, losing the cultural, deep rooted cultural needs that to keep it alive, you know?
Absolutely.
It's sad. So we've traveled. I went to Portugal as well, but I have a goal to travel the world. And I'm at 17 countries right now.
That's wonderful.
So I'm at your tail and I want to know all your tricks. So, well, what are the advice that you have for anyone, any travel hacker or to travel the world on a budget?
So first things first, I like to let the deals come to me. That's always what I tell people. Instead of, you know, frantically searching for deals, seeing the price be driven up, the more you search for that same, you know, specific trip or route, let the deals come to you. Sign up for flight alerts and just start getting deals to your inbox regularly. I like Scott's Cheap Flights. He has a free list and a premium list. You can stay on the free list indefinitely. You'll only get a portion of the deals as opposed to the premium list that gets all of the deals. And he'll send you deals like $200 flight to France, you know, $300 flight to China, $400 flight to Japan. And he sends these deals out daily. I'm on the premium list, so I always get a ton of deals. And I like to go kind of and just, I browse them. And if a good opportunity comes up where it matches with my schedule, the price is amazing, it's a destination that I'd be interested in going, I kind of leave myself open to that. When you have to go to a specific place at a specific time, like let's say you have a wedding to go to somewhere far away, in that case, I do recommend using points or miles, which is where travel hacking comes in. The best way to get a really expensive flight for really cheap is to get a bonus sign up for any kind of travel credit card, which should cover at least the majority of your expenses to get there. For instance, I flew to New Zealand for $38 using the bonus sign up miles that I had with a co-branded airline credit card. And then it didn't necessarily cover the full route round trip, but it did cover the flight to New Zealand and then the flight back from Hawaii that was $5 with points because you only pay whatever the taxes and fees are. And then I just paid out of pocket the flight from New Zealand to Hawaii, which was about $200. I made sure to coordinate it around those dates so that it all worked out. And I paid less than $300 round trip for a flight to New Zealand, which is one of the most expensive destinations, you know, no matter where you are because it's so secluded. So if you really want to get to a specific place at a specific date, you have no flexibility. I think that miles and points are the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's, it sounds like there's a lot of, well, you might be a lot better at it, but a lot of research and due diligence is done on your part to ensure you travel on a budget.
Yeah, it takes some time. And I know that that's not for everyone. And that's why some people think that traveling is so expensive because they're thinking of the price of paying for an agent to do it for you or going through a tour company. And I think it was just out of necessity at first. And now it's just because I prefer not to waste my money. I tend to just take itineraries that I see online. I do a lot of research. I go to different blogs. I go to different tour companies. I see what the highlights are. I, you know, Google unique things to do. I search Atlas Obscura for, you know, random things to throw in the mix. So I'm not just seeing the tourist sites. And I put together a list of things that I know I want to see when I go to a place. And then I kind of see what are the best ways to get around. Can I take public transportation? You know, how can I fit in these places into my schedule? Are there nights that have, you know, free entry at the museum? You know, I kind of just go through and read about each of the destinations that I want to see and fit it into an itinerary. And it takes some time. And that's why people want to outsource that. And I completely get that. It depends on the kind of person you are. I'm very type A. I love having full control of my schedule and feeling like, you know, I'm on top of a whole new itinerary when I'm traveling. But for some people, that's not for them. That's not relaxing. And that's not the point of a vacation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not necessarily, you know, taking vacations when I'm traveling. I'm traveling. I mean, I'm out there, I'm seeing things, but I'm busy. I'm working, I'm taking notes, I'm meeting people, you know, I'm thinking about new stories I can pitch or new blog posts I can write. I'm making sure I get the right picture with the right lighting. So it's a lot more work for me than for people that just kind of want to go and sit back and enjoy the beauty and splendor of a new place. So, but for me, that was a choice. I made travel my job because I wanted to, and that was something new that I wanted to try. And I always have the ability to, you know, try something different moving forward. I think that's the wonderful thing of life and of being professional and able to always rebrand yourself and just make yourself, your life is going to change. So you never know. But for now, travel is my life. And I think that it's a lot harder than people think it is. So it does require for me to have good planning and be on top of things.
You are truly present when you travel. You are absolutely taking in the world, the sight, the view, the culture, the smell, the taste, all of that. You're involving all your senses to actually be and get a great experience.
Absolutely. And it's wonderful.
That's fantastic. Why do you travel alone?
Well, it started first just with me asking friends, you know, to coordinate times or airline tickets or things like that. And it was always difficult to get people who would have the same time off or to get people who had money to buy when the sale came up. And so friends would just inevitably back out. And it became that I wanted to travel so much that I just decided, especially on my year of adventure, my self-proclaimed year of adventure that I copied somewhat from Oprah, I decided that I just was going to go either way, whether or not I had someone to go with me. And on about three of the trips, I did actually have people go with me. My friend Deanna came with me to the Grand Canyon. I had my friends Tenzi and Sally come with me to Iceland, which was great because Iceland was really expensive and it was wonderful to be able to split the costs with two other people. But most of the trips were taken alone. And I started to realize that I didn't mind being alone and I actually enjoyed it. You know, I got to immerse myself more that way. At first, I think it can be a little intimidating, but after your first couple of times eating alone or your first couple of times going to a site alone, it's really wonderful. I mean, you can just enjoy fully. When you go to a museum, you can just get lost in the guide. You don't have to worry about making talk with anyone else or kind of sharing your, you can just take it all in without constantly having to verbally process with a companion. Because when you're with somebody, you're talking, you know, it's kind of weird if you're just walking around silent. So it's nice to have silence every now and then and to have your own thoughts and to meet other people along the way and to be approachable because you're by yourself. And there's an element of safety to that where I recommend caution, but it's nice to know that people will really go out of their way most of the time, 90 to 10%. I'd say 10% of the time, there's some seriously creepy people out there and you have to be, you know, careful. But 90% of the time, it's pretty good people that have gone out of their way to help me and really make sure that it's a memorable experience.
Yeah, it's the need to be lost intentionally, to be in a new area, learn a new language, learn a new culture. That stimulates you mentally, because I get the same experience when I travel alone. In my travels are always off the cuff. Oh, I want to go to the Grand Canyon. I'm in San Diego right now, and I go drive to the Grand Canyon and backpack for 3 nights solo.
Wow.
Stuff like that really recharges me. It really gives me the power and energy I need to actually tackle life. Because when you come back, you take back with you the energy, the culture. You take back the compassion that you've learned along the way.
It just helps, like you said, just to step out of your bubble and to see something else that's different and to understand that life is bigger than just what you think beyond your everyday problems. It's a perspective that I value so much, and it does refresh and recharge you. And there have been studies that show, I mean, my second book was all about, you know, why you should or how to travel while employed full time and why you should. Because so many studies show that you come back more refreshed, you are more productive, that employees that have time off and feel like they have a balance are better employees. And for some reason, we have this mindset in the US that we have to kind of work ourselves to death, especially in these, you know, esteemed professions. But it doesn't have to be that way. And I think the whole point of having a life that you worked hard for and a degree that you worked hard for is having the flexibility to have a life that you really enjoy living, you know?
Absolutely. I have this quote that I say all the time, if you don't leave, you won't live.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of people who don't travel, who don't get the opportunity to travel, who don't leave their own state and haven't seen the world. There's such a vast and big world out there to see. And so the fear could be the money. They don't know how to travel on a budget. But also there is this buzz that you can actually make money while traveling. Why don't you share with us, how do you monetize your travel and how do you make money while traveling?
So it is real. It does exist. You can make money while traveling. Let me dispel any kind of skeptics out there. In the past year, that was my goal since I've left my job, was to monetize. And since about a year and a month after, I finally hit the point where I was making more from my remote work income than I was with my full-time attorney job. So it's taken some time to get there, and I've had some crutches along the way. So while I was working full-time, I started teaching English online to help fund all of those trips that I was taking because I was working at a nonprofit firm. So I wanted to just make extra cushion every month. And that was really helpful and helped me transition because I still had that job where I could always teach more and I could teach from anywhere. So I was in Bali for a month and that was what I was doing essentially to get income. And in Bali, it was like $14 a night for my private ensuite room at a homestay, which was in the middle of Ubud. And it really more than paid for my expenses while I was there. So it helped me kind of transition having that job. And then in the meantime, I started making money off of my website. So I realized that I needed to learn a whole new set of skills, and that as unsexy as it sounded, search engine optimization and SEO, you know, skills was really going to be what helped me get traffic, eyes on my blog, and be able to monetize from there in every other way. So I started to attend sessions. I started to just really learn more about this. And through a group called Make Traffic Happen and some friends that I've made there now, I was able to bring my traffic up to 100,000 page views a month now. So I'm making steady passive income off of ads on my website. And in addition, I have my books that I monetize through, which I have three of them on Amazon, and they're making me steady revenue every month as well.
Wow. That's fantastic. Like, you are full blown, like, working remotely on your own time. You are running a business while traveling the world.
It's a little crazy to think so. And I love it every time. Because I mean, there are so many times in law when you just are places where you don't want to be, but you have to be there. And I love now that my life consists of I can be wherever I want to be because I chose to be there. So next week, I'm going on a press trip to Central Asia, to Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. And I know that in like mile six of the hike that we're going to be taking in the middle of the mountains there, I'm going to be thinking to myself, like, this was not the best idea. But even then, I'm going to think to myself, like, I chose to be here. Everything, and nobody's forcing me to be here. And that's such a wonderful freedom. And I think that's the best part of being an entrepreneur, is knowing that you put yourself in any situation you want to be in. You don't have to sit anywhere. You don't have to sit at a meeting you don't want to be at. You know, you don't have to sit in a course or a class or a conference, anything like that. You decide where you want to be. And I love that feeling.
Yeah, that's freedom. That is the ultimate goal right here. Thank you for sharing. Now, being on the road and traveling so much, and I know you are home as well, tell us about your morning routine and how it changes as you travel.
So I teach every morning. So if I'm not teaching, it's because I'm traveling and it's somewhere that maybe I'm on already another trip and I'm already obliged to work for them. So if I'm teaching, the first thing I try to do when I wake up is not immediately hop in the teaching. So I try to give myself at least a few minutes to kind of reflect. It sounds a little kooky, but I like to think about my dreams if I can remember them in those kind of fleeting moments right after consciousness. I like them. They give me a little bit of insight into what's on my mind, what are some pressing issues, how I'm feeling. And it just helps me kind of process. I think that's the whole point of them. And then from there, after I give myself a moment to myself in bed, at least, then I can kind of get ready, start the day. And I immediately hop into teaching since I teach pretty early. And then afterwards, I start what would be my regular morning routine of breakfast, working out. I like to eat breakfast even if I'm not teaching. So if I wouldn't be teaching, if I'm traveling and let's say I don't have the time to do a lot of other things, I'll still usually eat breakfast first. And I'll usually try to sneak in some bread in the morning because I feel really good about myself and that I could like kind of work it off by the rest of the day. And then I'll skip bread at night. So that's when I allow myself that special treat of bread. And I just, I don't do coffee actually. A lot of people have asked me that. They think I'm very strange. They want to know how I managed to get through law school without drinking coffee. But I just don't drink it. I either drink juice or milk, coconut water. I swear by coconut water, or just regular water, really. And yeah, that's my morning routine in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's crucial to hydrate, especially first thing in the morning, because our body's at a fasted state at night and for 7 to 8 hours. And so it's good to hydrate first thing in the morning to flush out toxins and to help with brain fog. I wrote a book, First Things First, Wake, First Things First, Hydrate, is specifically about that. So coconut water is the way to go. I love coconut water as well.
I love it. And it's like my go-to because it's supposed to hydrate you the fastest. And I definitely feel that when I drink it, I just feel, you know, kind of rejuvenated in a sense. And I used to live in Florida and I would hoard the coconuts that fell from the coconut tree in front of our condominium complex, like hoard them. I would have like five of them in my house at a time because I love the fresh coconut water. And so it was just wonderful. And now that I'm in New York or in other places where it's not as accessible, I have the one that comes in the box, but it's not necessarily the same, but it's not bad.
I love that you said in the morning before you let the world in, before you start teaching, you give yourself some time to reflect. You do so by thinking of your dreams and to actually assess what is going on in your mind, right? To assess what is it that the subconscious is trying to solve for you. Because subconscious mind, that's what it does while you sleep. That's what it does. It's always on. It's always working. And so for you, you tap into it by giving yourself the time to quiet down and reflect in the morning so you can see what's going on in my world. What is coming up for me? What is coming up for you?
Exactly.
And so I love that reflection aspect of your morning routine.
Thank you. It was really helpful to me. Like right before I took the bar, I had a wonderful dream with a unicorn and it was so vibrant. And I just woke up feeling very enthusiastic and, you know, optimistic about my prospects. And I ended up passing. And I think that those kind of things kind of help you get through life. I can't explain it necessarily. I don't know the science behind it. But for me, it's very encouraging sometimes just to have a little bit of an assessment and to feel like, you know, you're in control of what's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are aware, awareness of those thoughts, awareness of those dreams, just so you are connected with yourself, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Jen, how can we connect with you?
So you can reach me on my website, Jen on a Jet Plane. It's like the song Leaving on a Jet Plane, Jen on a Jet Plane, and .com. And you can also find me under the same handle on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, at Jen on a Jet Plane.
All right. Morning enthusiasts, you've heard it here first. This is Jennifer, and she talks about how to monetize travel. You too can have the dream and travel the world on a budget. Look out for a Scott's List. Look for Google Flights Tracker to actually get the deals to come to you instead of looking for them, because the prices will increase. The more you do so, she talks about the reason for solo travel is really to connect with yourself, to be silent, to actually learn some things about the culture, but in return, learn something about yourself. And you take that back to your daily life. You take that back to your home, and it transcends in growth, in personal growth. Jen also talked about how to monetize your travel. Teach English online. That's fantastic. That's a good tip right there. She is a blogger. She has other income. She drives traffic to her website. And also she is a best-selling author of 3 books. Jen, I thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Luneet. It's been great.
You have a great day now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.